Chapter 16, Extraordinary Systems Operated by Great People. Most people, especially successful people, are hardworking. They want to participate. They want to do things well. Annie Leibovitz. I've discussed the importance of creating efficient, documented systems, but have not sufficiently addressed a prime benefit. Your superb systems are for regular people like you and me, people who do not have superpowers. People have said to me, "I'm sure you are successful because you've been lucky enough to find very good people to work for you." Translation: you just stumbled into finding people who adore you, know your every thought, and will perform your every wish. You lucky guy. The idea that one must find the right people is a pervasive misconception. It is not that the statement isn't true, it's that the inference is backward. At Centratel, we do have an extraordinary staff from top to bottom, but that is not because of plain dumb luck or my prowess as a recruiter. It's because we attract and keep quality people due to the great work situation we offer. The great situation comes before the great people. Plenty of hardworking, disciplined, honest people are out there, quietly looking for a fair shake so they can put themselves on the line and show what they can do. And when they perform well, they want to be rewarded. You just need to attract these people and then give them black and white instruction, good pay, and the promise of a bright future. As always, it's just simple mechanics. Seeking the perfect employee who will solve all problems, a from-the-top-down solution, is the opposite of the systems thinking solution. In the work the system business, your job as a leader is to provide an exceptional business system that will attract hardworking, loyal, and long-term employees, a from-the-bottom-up solution. So these great people become great employees. You make it possible for them to shine by providing a forum for their innate skills and high motivation. You give them opportunity and turn them loose. Assertively apply the guidelines. Help your staff to avoid the danger of becoming bogged down in the pros and cons of a decision. Accomplish this by assertively encouraging them to apply the guidelines of the three critical documents. At Centratel, I love it when a new employee mentions that he or she is taking a certain action simply because it is congruent with a guideline within the strategic objective, the 30 principles document, or a particular working procedure. Another positive sign is a staff member's unsolicited request for a working procedure's modification, a sure indication he or she gets the system's methodology. To these people, you owe your best. You want smart, honest, clean-living, and enthusiastic people who will believe in what you have created. Individuals who can become intrigued with your personal vision and who will want to continue into the future with you, at least for a while. These good people are the bedrock of your future. To them you owe the best, and the best centerpiece is the carefully constructed system-based environment you provide. Then, if your people grow with your company and you teach them well, it will be a compliment to you if someday they go out and start their own businesses. On the other hand, it will be the supreme compliment if they stay with you over the long term. Is the focus on the product or the system? It seems logical that any manager's total efforts should be focused on the product or the service itself. That is, all of that person's energy should be directed to the work that must be done, the customers who must be found, and the money that must be made. But this is the problem. Focus entirely on these tasks without an overall strategy of system improvement, and dysfunction is imminent. Failure to adopt an outside and slightly elevated perspective is the primary reason only one business out of 100 will survive 15 years. Here's good news. The bulk of those 1% survivors are doing very well indeed. Albeit morbid, here's more good news for you. The vast majority of your new competitors are doomed. Understand what large successful businesses have in common. The leader is not producing the product or the service. He or she is holding court, observing, and adjusting the systems that produce and market the product or service. To accomplish this, the leader insists that the company's managers document goals, principles, and procedures, and ensures that employees follow this documentation exactly. Evaluating people. Your team must see things your way. If you are going to embrace the work the system method and you are in charge of staff, you will have to remove people who can't or won't deal with your vision. Then you will replace them with new people who share your system's mindset. In our search for systems-oriented personalities at Centratel, here are a few hoops that job applicants must negotiate. Note that clear-headedness and self-discipline are the common threads of these system-thinking prerequisites. 1. Did the applicant show up for the interview on time? 2. Was the minimum score achieved on the aptitude test? 3. Does the applicant know about the business? Did he or she check out the website before applying for the position? Are there questions about what goes on, or is the applicant just looking for any job? Is advancement important? 4. Did the interviewee smile, seem happy? Generally, did he or she seem to be self-disciplined? 5. Did the applicant listen to you, or were your words sliding by unheard as the person waited for the next opportunity to pitch his or her expertise? 6. Can the interviewee carry on a reasonable conversation? Did he or she look you in the eye when speaking? 7. Did the applicant's appearance convey that she or he takes care of herself or himself? If not, the raw truth is that in most cases of personal neglect, there is a corresponding lack of self-discipline. 8. Did the applicant previously bounce from job to job? 9. Did the interviewee pass the drug test? 10. Does the applicant naturally play by the rules? Did he or she pass the criminal background check? By breaking down the subjective interview process into component parts, we transform it into an objective black-and-white test. Yes, intuition can be important, but it should never overrule your guidelines. Don't confuse feelings with logic, subjectivity with objectivity. However compassionate the "this person needs a break" gut feeling is too often a mistake. Use gut feelings to disqualify rather than to qualify people. That's a useful rule to follow elsewhere in life, too. At Centratel, it is critical that the job applicant pass through all of the aforementioned hoops. If he or she fails just one, we won't offer the position because that one negative indicator probably points to a problem that can't be neutralized, even by all the other positive signals added together. We are hard-hearted about this and don't make exceptions. College education? We don't worry too much about this, although a college degree indicates someone who can stick through long-term challenges to reach a goal. Unfortunately, a college degree is no longer a reliable barometer of literate capability or of a reasonable mindset. You know this already. Hiring and then firing someone is not just a bad investment for the company. It's also an intense personal blow to the employee. For the job prospect, it's infinitely less painful to not get the job in the first place. Be compassionate by creating a thoughtful and, of course, documented hiring procedure. Kill the moles, manage the fleet. And what about the leader of a typical large successful company? Most times, these people are not innately special. Beyond their willingness to work hard and an adequate degree of intelligence, their leg up is that they naturally operate from a systems perspective, while the huge majority of people do not. These leaders are heavyweights because they understand that moles must be eliminated, not repeatedly whacked. Yes, the systems perspective is permanently etched into the minds of those who manage large, successful organizations. But the interesting thing is that it is such a simple concept, many of the people who innately embrace it can't describe it, much less identify it as the critical factor of their success. Via managers who understand the process, the large business leader focuses on perfecting systems and keeping them that way, constantly making efficiency adjustments while simultaneously keeping up with trends and changes. It should be the same for you if you were to climb out of the morass within which 95% of the world struggles. For your business, you must find and keep employees and suppliers, supervise the creation and sales of your product or service, make payroll, pay taxes, and steer the whole enterprise toward a profit. If you are to leap ahead, your product or service must be consistently superior. And that can't happen if your people don't hyper-focus on the details of how that product or service is produced and distributed. In the short term, you must focus on creating extraordinary, well-defined systems. In the long term, you and your staff must relentlessly tweak and maintain those systems. The byproduct will be an exceptional service or product that people want. Another thought, all the ships in your fleet must be at peak efficiency. One slow boat will hold back the entire flotilla. This is a central tenet of the work the system method, and it's the reason you will want to ensure that all your people are on board with your system's methodology. You'll want everyone in your organization working at peak capacity, repairing, tweaking, and adjusting to outside changes. The fleet must move forward full steam, directly toward the common goal, and it is your job to make sure that happens. This is called being a leader. If you hold a job and your goal is to advance, you have equal challenges. To win in the long term, you must do things more efficiently than your competition or your peers. And you can't be more efficient by winging it, depending on personal charm, trying to be the perfect employee, or doing things like everyone else. Illustration: a supermarket. Being aware of the systems around you and of distinguishing the efficient from the inefficient keeps your system's mindset front and center. In Southern California, there is a certain grocery store chain that passionately ensures that all of its markets are organized and relaxed. The rows of goods are full. Everything is clean and polished. In fact, the people who work there are clean and polished. Walk the aisles and catch the eye of a clerk. You can feel the pride. Each store is efficient, confident in itself. I don't know the top management people, but it's obvious. Here is a perfect model of thought-out and documented system strategy, directed from the top of the organization down to the customer contact level. Of course, other businesses just like this one exist. They are not common, but you will find them. When you do, spend time there and think about the systems that are behind the efficiencies. Watch and learn. It's easy to find floundering businesses. You can't help spending time in them because they are everywhere. In visiting such businesses, there is also much to learn. Get a visceral feeling for the lack of systems and vision, the lack of controls. Feel the chaos. This is the antithesis of what you want for your work and your life. In your personal experience, can you think of a super efficient business? Can you identify systems that have been set up that cause and maintain this efficiency? Are the people working within this business alert, busy, and happy?